is always a special time for the body of Christ as we remember who Jesus is and we profess our faith once again in the work of Jesus. And this morning, in a few minutes, we're going to receive Holy Communion together and going to celebrate Jesus as the great giver of life for us and help in our lives. Communion is an ongoing reminder of the grace of God, the broken body, the poured out life of Jesus that he gave up so much for us. And so today, as we come to communion, I want to invite you to be thinking about how precious the time is that we come together to share the bread and the juice. Last Sunday morning, I had an opportunity to be in two different churches early in the morning, and then later in the first one, the opportunity to receive communion with people I didn't know and be around in a different, really a very different type church than I'm used to. And I was reminded of how precious Holy Communion is to the body of Christ around the world, and every age and every country and every language and every place. There's something about the body of Jesus that draws us together, and communion is such an important part of our faith. Some people call it the ongoing sacrament of grace, and that we take communion and over and over again. And every time we receive communion, it's an opportunity once again to profess our need for and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Communion is a place of faith. It's a place of expressing what we believe and seeking God's help and God's Spirit. I wonder this morning, as we come to this time of communion, what it is that you need to say to God and ask God for his help and his presence and express that faith in him. Before we receive communion today, I would like to speak to you about two important parts of our faith. The first is the importance of baptism. Baptism is that sacrament that's the initiating or the beginning point at a stage in the journey of our relationship to God. Baptism is so important, certainly for those who have said yes to Jesus but have not yet been baptized. This morning, I want you to think about and consider how important baptism is to your relationship with God. Called that sacrament of grace, or the first sacrament of grace, baptism is that time when we publicly and initially step into that public profession for those around us of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was baptized before he began his public ministry, and he set an example, and many things happened in that baptism that help us to see and illustrate how meaningful baptism is. And then in Jesus' ministry, he talked about baptism. And in the early church, baptism was the sacrament that was so important all throughout the New Testament and the words of Paul in describing what it meant to be a Christian. In the early church, there was no Christian unless you were baptized. You were not regarded in the early church as a Christian until you came to that point in that commitment of baptism. Both baptism and communion are both so important as sacraments to what we believe and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're both also very significant to the body of Christ and what it means that Jesus called us to be a part of the body. And in baptism, we enter into that public expression of our faith that we have in common with others, that we are dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we come to receive his forgiveness for our sins, and we make this commitment to a new life. And then when we take communion each time, it's an opportunity once again to express that we're a part of the body of Jesus. This is how Jesus called us to express that grace. Jesus commanded all those who followed him to be baptized. He said in Mark chapter 16 these words, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." Jesus simply said that we're to take the gospel, we're to take the good news to the world and call people to believe and give them the opportunity to put their faith and their trust in Jesus, and then that step of discipleship, of baptism, Christian baptism. Christian baptism is a step of faith. It's a step of expressing what we believe deep in our hearts. It's an outward expression. Rob Staples writes in his Theology of Baptism that I loved, I read many years ago. Baptism is that outward sign of an inward faith. Baptism is that first time that we express outwardly what we believe in our hearts. That's what we have chosen. That's who we are. Baptism is that step of faith. Baptism is also a promise to God that we make to God. We say, God, I promise that I'm going to walk the walk with you, and my life and my choices and my spirit and my attitude will be given to you. I will live the life, the Christian life. I will seek you. I will be a follower of you. I will be a disciple of yours. Baptism is when we make that public expression that we're making a promise to God and we're going to follow him. It's a step, and it's so important. Baptism is also a personal decision. It's a decision that each of us need to make. Our parents make important decisions for us spiritually when we're born. And many of you, and I was taken to church when I was a few weeks old, and I was dedicated to the Lord. My parents did that, and many of you have that tradition as well. And that's an important step in my walk with God. But when I came to the place of personal faith, and I asked Jesus into my heart, and I said, this is my decision for my life. I want to honor God. I want to walk with him. I want to go with him. Then that's my personal decision, and I see baptism as that opportunity to say, I'm making that choice with God, and I choose to walk with him. Baptism is also a great witness to others. It's a witness to those inside the church, inside the body of Christ, of how important that unity is and that expression of what Jesus called us to do is. So it's so important inside the church, but it's also important to the people around you that you say, yes, I have chosen to walk with Jesus. In other countries and other places, making that decision for baptism might be even much bigger than here, because in places all around the world, to take that step of baptism means you open up your life to persecution. And people face that because they are making that public witness. We have an opportunity here in this country to say something to people outside the church walls that even today in 2019, I choose to walk with Jesus. I choose to put my faith in him and respond to him. And so the witness is so important. No turning back. I think of the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Also, baptism is a part, a step, a stage in a lifetime journey with Jesus. Baptism is an important place along the way. It's an important marker. It's a time when God's Spirit comes and marks us as well. Baptism is that place that we pause and we say to those around us, I'm walking with Jesus. The journey is important. The Christian journey is important. Some Christians probably see the Christian life is one step, one stage, one decision, but the Christian life is a lifetime journey, and baptism is a part of that. It's a part of what we say to God about what we want for our lives. I'm wondering this morning, as I've been thinking about baptism, if there might be some people in our church family who have never taken the step of baptism. Maybe you've believed in Jesus for a long time, and you want to be a Christian, and you've got that in your heart, but yet you've not taken that step of Christian baptism. I want to invite you today to consider to do that. 2 weeks from tonight, we have a baptism service. And as we did last year, we were at the Jeff and Crystal Yontz and their family for that baptism service. And we're going to do the same thing this year. They have a pond, and they have a great place. And last year, I couldn't find it. Somewhere deep in the depths of my computer are some pictures, but I couldn't find them. So I drew some pictures out from the year before of our baptism service. But next, 2 weeks from tonight, on August the 11th at 5 o'clock, I want to invite our church family to come to 1857 Richard Road. You look that up or talk to the Yonts or us. And we're going to have a baptism service at 5 o'clock. And just want to invite anyone who would like to be baptized and express their Christian faith, if you're interested in that. And then we're going to have a picnic there as we did last year after that. So looking forward to a great time of celebration. Celebrating the life journey, celebrating those steps with God. And so baptism, so important to our Christian faith. I did say that there's two things that I wanted to really speak about this morning. This sermon's kind of different. It's broken in half, and it's two different topics, but they are related. But I also want to speak this morning for a couple of minutes about the importance of servanthood. Servanthood, the call to servanthood. And how Jesus calls all of us who are Christians to be his servants. I think of Jesus in communion, and we come together and we acknowledge that Jesus is the one that laid down his life for us. And he laid down everything when he came from heaven to come to our world and to become God with us. And in doing so, he became our servant. And he calls us to have a servanthood spirit like he did. Jesus was the ultimate servant. And he calls us to a heart and a life as Christians of having an attitude and a spirit that he has. Mark chapter 10, verse 41, I'd like to read this morning. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to follow along, I want to read the story of two brothers, James and John. And I'm going to start reading. I'm going to pick up at verse 41. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The words of Jesus come to here following a question, a conversation that Jesus had with two of his disciples. Their names were James and John. I think of James and John as being kind of the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. They certainly had been around Jesus as much or most of any other disciples, except maybe Peter. They were connected to Jesus. They were committed to Jesus. They had heard the words of Jesus. They had seen him in action. They had heard his teaching. They had watched his miracles. And all along the way, James and John were there watching, and they were learning and they were growing, and Jesus was teaching them. And this is one of those times when Jesus confronted James and John with an important truth that were so important. They were disciples that were chosen by Jesus, yet they were on the journey. They're on a lifetime journey of learning to be what God wanted them to be and having the heart and the spirit that God wanted them as his disciples. I think of James and John. They had front row seats in Jesus' ministry. They wanted to be all in. I see them and their question to Jesus as coming out of men who had good hearts and yet they didn't have it all right, but they just wanted to be with Jesus, and they wanted to serve him, and they wanted to do whatever Jesus wanted them to do. They were impressed with Jesus. They were amazed, that's a better word, by Jesus, and they were watching Jesus. And so they said to Jesus, "When you come into your kingdom, can we sit at your right side and your left in your glory?" To us, it's a question that goes to the heart of pride and wanting what the other disciples didn't have and wanting the best and just all about them, and that's how that comes across to us. And I see when Jesus responded to them, I noticed the first response of Jesus to James and John was not very sharp at all. In fact, he just said to them simply, "You don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking when you want the glory, when you want to have everybody watching you and looking at you. You don't understand what you're asking." He said, "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" Jesus knew what the ministry was coming to. He knew what it meant to be a servant. He knew what happens when you serve. He knew what happens when he gave himself to be a servant of all. So he looked at James and John and said, you don't know what you're asking. So then the disciples came and they were gathered later on. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. They were upset too. They probably weren't much better off than James and John in this area. All of them thinking about the greatness of being with the Master and all of his power and all that he did. But they had this weakness and Jesus knew it. They wanted something great, but Jesus saw in them that human tendency to self, to what I want, to what I choose, and having the best. And Jesus said, you're missing something completely, because the way you fulfill being a servant and being like me is being a servant to those around you. He reminds them of the great truth that later those disciples, I think Peter and James and John and all of them, came to learn of what servanthood really meant. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 are verses that tell us about the heart of being a servant. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Here Paul was describing Jesus in this great passage where he then talks about him being poured out. And he says that's what God calls us to do in the body of Christ, is we're looking at people different than the world does. We look at the needs of people different than the world does. We look at our time and our talent and our treasure different than the world does. Jesus reminds them of who really is greatest in God's eyes. When we think, boy, when God looks down and he sees the church and he sees Christians, what does God value? And we know the one thing that God values is a humble spirit. A humble spirit. The humble of heart. It begins on the inside. And God values that. The scripture says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. There's something about God's heart that connects to humility. That connects to a spirit that says that is not prideful, and when it comes to serving, especially in this area, that's what God is looking for in you and me. God is also looking for a care and a love for others, and he's looking for people with a passion for others that sees people in a certain way, as that scripture is that we just read, that we look at the interest of others, Philippians chapter 2, and so God's looking not only for a heart that is humble, but he's also looking for a heart that is unselfish and cares and looks for others as well. God's looking for an unselfishness. That's who he is. That's what communion is about. A giving God, a loving Jesus who poured it all out for us. God is also looking for those who see their time and talent and treasure for his kingdom. Would you go on to the next couple of points there? God's looking for those that see who they are, and their time and their talent and their treasure for the kingdom. God's looking for people who believe that everything that he's given them belongs to him. Everything he's given them belongs to him to use as he will, whether it's our time or whether it's possessions that God's given us, or it's what God's allowed, the blessings and the benefits in our hearts. God is looking for people who are giving those to him. That is great. In the eyes of God, God is looking for people who serve him from the heart. Down on the inside, we don't serve because we're compelled to. We don't serve because we have to. We don't serve in order to get something else, but we serve because that's who we are as God's people. That's the attitude of greatness that God wants for us. Jesus came to give us all of this. He came to help us and to see him. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Remind us today as we come for Holy Communion in just a minute how important it is to have a servant heart. To have a heart that says, I recognize you, Jesus, for what you've done and who you are. And I ask you to make a servant heart in me.